Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Schumacher and Sister Schumacher. Thank you, church. Not just words to fill up space, but this truly is a privilege to minister to the body of Christ. And I'm truly thankful and honored to be able to do that tonight. I believe with all my heart that I have a word for this church from the Lord. It'll be a little different. I haven't done this in quite some time, but in a little bit I'm going to talk about a dream that the Lord sent me early Saturday morning. And then when I was here for prayer, standing right over there, he gave me the interpretation. And it wasn't just for me, but it's for the church for such a time as this. We're in a season of fasting and praying, and it's not for our well-being, it's for being world changers. The disciples were world changers, and we truly are children of God. And he has chosen you and I to be world changers in this end time. My pastor's favorite scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We sought the kingdom of God tonight. We were just seeking the kingdom of God. If there's ever a people and if there's ever a time to seek the kingdom, it would be in the house of God. And God did some awesome things tonight. But once we've seen the kingdom, we must seek to show others the same kingdom that he's shown us. Amen. Amen. If you would turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis, the third chapter, verses 20 and 21. We've read it many of times, I'm sure. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And really, that's a type and a shadow of the church. We are the mother of all spiritual living things. We are the bride of Christ, and God has called the church to be the mother. You know, Brother Portman, as I saw the junior camp this morning, I saw some of my grandkids in some of those clips. Not my blood grandkids, but my spiritual grandkids, children of people who were taught home Bible studies, and now their children are living for God, and it lives to the next generation. Part of what the mother, the spiritual mother, does. And verse 21 says, and unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Two verses of scripture, and we already see the plan of salvation that God had to give to his church. He dressed them. There was innocent bloodshed to dress them. Amen. Pastor Schumacher, if you would pray. Amen. Before you're seated, could you give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place? He is so worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we know that Adam slipped into a deep sleep and the Lord opened his side, and from that side he took a rib and he formed the woman. And we see in 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." 1 Corinthians 15 and 45 says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." The Adam that we read about in Genesis, the third chapter, is the Adam that we're speaking about here in 1 Corinthians. "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So from the side of Adam, we saw Eve formed. And we know that when the side of the Lord Jesus Christ was pierced on the cross, the blood and the water flowed, and we see the woman formed, or the church, or the mother. Blood and water. It wasn't a coincidence that there was one door in the side of the ark, and that the ark was to be pitched on the inside and on the outside. The inside first. Where we were pitched, or where the work of the Lord Jesus Christ began in you and I. He did the heart surgery and put that heart of flesh in there. And then when something happened on the inside, there was something that was manifested on the outside. Sealed. Just like the ark was to be preserved in the storms of life, if you will. And that's who the church is. And we are preserved in this world of darkness. In the valley of Goshen, when the Israelites were in Egypt, they were in the valley where the plush things grow, yes. But during darkness, there, the Bible says there was light in their dwelling places. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that the Lord allows for you and I to meet people in this world, in this darkness, in the valleys of their life, and allows for us to minister to them and to bring light to their situation. There was a darkness back then in Egypt that the Bible says it was a darkness you could feel. And in this world that you and I live in, there is a darkness that you can feel. But God, and we talked about it this morning, Pastor Schumacher, has always had a remnant, a people that would represent the goodness and the power and the strength of God and could bring light into this dark world. And so he's chosen us, you and I, for such a time as this. And he would teach you and I what we would need to give to this world. Just like Jesus, John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the beginning was the Word, and then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So it continues in the year 2017. The Word was made flesh, you and I, and he dwells in us, and we continue to shine the light of the Lord into this world. And he has much people in this city. And the prayer and the fasting that is going on right now is for a city that so desperately needs what you and I have. And in that whole situation, the Lord works in our lives as we take on His agenda. I know without a shadow of a doubt that time after time, the blessings that have flowed into my life are because of my faithfulness to setting my agenda perhaps aside to pick up the Lord's agenda and give someone some time. Giving is important, not only monetarily, but of our time. My son and my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter are with us now, and you know, my wife said to me the other day, "What's different about this, do you think? Why are you so motivated now with your son?" And I said, "I've been given another chance. I remember when there were times I was going out the back door to perhaps go to the prison or someone's place to teach a Bible study, and he wanted to toss a football. And I said, I just don't have time tonight, son. But I do now. Not that I've set the agenda of God aside, but I'm getting another chance, and now I have another little life in the house. And oh, what a beautiful little girl that gets out of so much trouble because of cuteness." John, the 7th chapter, verses 15 through 17, I want you to go there. We're going to go there. I'm going to join you there in a minute, but before I get there with you, I want to read to you a scripture out of Deuteronomy. You see, from the very beginning, God has laid a foundation for His church or His people. It's amazing that when He was on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples and He read their mail and said, "Well, what's going on?" Like He didn't know. But after He let them talk and give them their point of view, the Bible says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets in the Psalms, He opened up to them in the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." He went way back to the five books, or the Pentateuch, if you will, and show, "Oh, and that there, that was me. Oh, and that situation there, that was me." Because He set a foundation, and it was set from the beginning of time, and the church that lives in the year 2017 still does not deviate from what He established as far as the truth, and the church grafted into the bloodline of the Almighty God, if you will, but there still is a church that is different than all the rest. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, I'm going to read this for you. Verse 2. Well, I'll start at the beginning. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Aren't you thankful we serve a God who speaks and allows for us to hear His word? He says, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." Watch this, verse 3. "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Why? Verse 4. "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He." Sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ to me. A just and true God, the rock, if you will. And his doctrine shall drop as the rain. And aren't you and I thankful tonight that that doctrine, that life-changing word of God, dropped into our life and changed us? Amen. So now I'm going to join you in John, the 7th chapter. I'm establishing that the Lord gave his church truth. And as we embrace the truth and continue on through generations, the same thing that was abundant for the people of God in the Old Testament scriptures, we have access to as well in these days. He's divided the water for you and I in situations. He's healed. He's destroyed enemies. He's went to battle for you and I. The prophet who said, Lord, open my servant's eyes and let him see what you have there. They looked surrounded, but I thought of that tonight, Brother Schumacher, when you talked about angels dancing here beside him. And the prophet said, open the eyes of my servant, Lord. You know what that showed me? He was confident enough in God that he knew God was there with him. But he said, let my servant see what you have. And the Lord opened his eyes. God opened his eyes, and he saw that what they were surrounded by was surrounded by and angelic hosts and heavenly beings that were there to deliver. The Lord will take care of us. John 7, 15 through 17. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Who is this guy? He's never went through our schools. What does he know? Right? People look at you and I the same way. Well, who are you? What did you go to Bible college? Do you know that? Well, the doctrine of heaven dropped into my life, and I met one named Jesus, and he changed me. His truth that was established. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. My teaching is not my teaching, but it's the teaching that was established that the book of John tells us in the beginning was the Word. Before time as we know it, there was a truth, there was a word that God was going to give to his creation that would sustain and help them. And guide and direct and manage and rule them. All we had to do, all we have to do is apply it. And these signs shall follow those who believe. Oh, you guys just seek after signs. No, we don't. They follow us. We believe in what the word of the Lord said, and then the signs are made manifest. Amen. The healings of cancer. The financial distresses that are just gone. The family members that were lost and all of a sudden they're back. The hearts that were changed. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. It was of God. And as you apply it, you know that it's the truth because there are signs that follow and manifest themselves. There's a whole lot of doctrines out there. The Bible talks about doctrines. If you would look up that word doctrine or doctrines, there are all kinds of doctrines out there. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All kinds of teachings out there. But there's only one truth. There's not two truths, there's one. And we have been privileged enough to be shown that truth. Our eyes were opened. Amen. So, we heard the scripture tonight in Acts, the second chapter. Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in prayer and in breaking of bread. Now think about that. Brother Portman talked this morning about how if it's true in the natural, there's a parallel in the spiritual, and yes, there is. They continued steadfastly. They were immovable. They stayed in the apostles' doctrine. Was it a doctrine they came up with? No. It was the doctrine or the teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ transferred to them when he schooled them. He showed them, he took them off and showed them things that not everybody has seen. And it hasn't changed. The Lord shows us things that other people just scratch their head. I've never seen that. Well, you can have access to the kingdom. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Why was it the apostles' doctrine? Because Jesus transferred the power to them. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 18, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then here comes the commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the... Oh, sounds just like way back in the Garden of Eden when the Lord took coats of skins and covered them. There was shedding of blood. There was a covering that would be provided. And Jesus taught his disciples, this is what I want you to go and teach, baptizing them in the name, singular of... That name that in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, that it said his name would be proclaimed. And it still is. And when his name is proclaimed and his truth goes forth, there's no getting it wrong. In the beginning was the Word. The doctrine of God, accompanied by his signs of power and greatness, are what he has given us access for. Two, it's not about us like we've heard tonight, but it's about him. And when people come into this presence and they feel the goodness of God and they see his power manifested, it's they're something foreign. They've never seen it before. His doctrine was taught to his disciples, which was the church or the body of Christ, which then became the Word, which was made flesh. That's you and I, just like Jesus was. And you know, isn't it amazing that you look at how Joseph, an angel, came to him and said, take the child and move him to Egypt because there's one that seeks his life. The king Herod wanted to take the life of Jesus. And then when things were good, Joseph was busied and our approach and said, now take the child and go back to the land because the one who sought his life is gone, so that his word could be fulfilled that said, out of Egypt hath I called my son. It's not a coincidence that each and every one of us in here has been called out of Egypt. We've had a conversion. Now, we see Paul, who we know at one time was caught up in the religious sect of the day and who was actually taking people like you and I, those of the way, and thinking he was doing God some kind of favor and bounding them up and throwing them into prison because, after all, these people aren't right in the head. There's something wrong with them. And then the Lord opened his eyes and knocked him off his high horse and spoke to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Whom art thou, Lord, capital L, Elohim, supreme deity, the one who's in charge? He knew who was he was talking to. It was the one who was in charge. And here's a oneness revelation for you. The voice said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What would you have me to do? Oh, you mean there's some things we need to do in the kingdom? I believe that, like we heard tonight, we have a God that's busy and wants to get involved, and I believe with all my heart that he has chosen for his church to be involved and busy as well for him. Thank God for people that were busy for God, because you and I wouldn't be sitting here if that wasn't the case. Amen? So in Acts, the 17th chapter, if you would go there, Acts 17, verses 18 and 19. It says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. Could I just tell you that that word encounter doesn't mean that they came and put their arm around him and said, hey, bud, how's it going? There was an encounter, there was a striving, there was a strife, if you will. There was a little bit of, we're not so certain about this mess that you're teaching to people here. And so the encounter was not a friendly encounter. And I guess I've said that to say that, you know, in this world that we live in, because of what we stand for, we're not always well received or embraced. But please do not listen to those voices that want to tell you that you need to cave into that, that this really isn't the truth, and it would be better for you if you could just get along with them and really just kind of look the other way to and say it's okay. That's exactly what the enemy of your soul and my soul would want the church to do. So that in the end times, like Scripture says, that there would be a people that would not endure sound doctrine. Can I tell you that he was directing this to the church and to believers and saying, listen, it's going to come to a time when people will not endure sound doctrine, and they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, telling them what they want to hear, and that's all right, and we can back off here, and we don't need, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And that's another doctrine that wants to creep into, and it's nothing new. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. It's an old hag in a new dress, just wanting to present a different way and try to deceive the church of the living God. Oh, well, that looks pretty good. Yeah, and like we heard this morning, oh, the flesh would just love to lay back and stay back and kick back. And what happens is you end up going back. So, he had this encounter, and some said, what will this babbler say? Well, it shows you right there, this really, they didn't have a very high opinion of them, a babbler. Some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, little g, because he preached unto them Jesus and his resurrection. That was a problem. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? This new doctrine? Really, it's not new. It's been around since the beginning of time, since the beginning. But perhaps it's the first time they heard it. Could I ask you the same question? How long did you walk on the face of this earth before you heard this doctrine and thought, listen, it was about 2 years ago, we had someone sitting in our living room in a Bible study, And my wife gave him a large print Bible because he was having a problem seeing. And his Bible was very small print, King James. He brought a King James. And so we're reading these scriptures, and it was the simple scripture about how that when they chose the animals for the ark, that there was seven of the clean and two of the unclean. And he set that Bible down, he turned it around and looked, because he wanted to see what kind of Bible we slipped in, because that wasn't the scripture that was in the Bible he had. That's not what he was taught. They just had two of, well, they went in two by two, perhaps, but if you look, there was seven of the clean, and I never knew that. So then you wonder, well, what else have they not seen? And so can I tell you, please, 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 don't listen to the voice that wants to tell you that you're not able, that you cannot do, because if I could go back to Matthew 28 and 18, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That is a commission with a promise, because that scripture ends and he says, lo, I am with you sometimes, always. So you know what? You just open yourself up to what he wants you to do, and he's there to take care of what you can't. You make yourself a willing vessel, but there's that voice that wants to tell you you're old, you're washed up, or you're not smart enough. Listen, they looked at Jesus and said, who is this guy? What does he know? How does he know scripture? So many people, we're teaching a lady right now in our house on Monday nights. She is so excited about the Word of God and is on the end of her. She's never seen these things. And to have them explained to her, she is just mesmerized by what she's learned already in 6 weeks. Never had it explained to her before and understood. Why is that? Amen. So I've showed you these scriptures to say that there's going to be disputings and there's going to be encounters that are not always comfortable, if you will. But it does not mean that we do not have to stand up for what's right. We do it with love and tactful, okay? But there are going to be encounters. But Jesus told us to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's still being delivered, and sometimes there will be contention. So don't be intimidated by that. Sometimes it's that alone that causes us not to be a mouthpiece for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you'll just flip to the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. This is Paul now in Corinth. After Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, so, you know, we've heard the stories of what he spoke on Mars Hill, and he told them about the altar they had built to the unknown God, and he came to proclaim who that God was. And you know, we really do the same thing, because people don't know the God we know. They know of him and they think they have the story as far as they got it, but they don't know. And we proclaim to them the unknown God, and we can tell them his name. And that's where the authority and the power is in the name of Jesus. And so we open that up to them, which opens up a whole new world to them, like it did to you and I. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir, if you will, but I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang on for a minute yet. Acts 18, verses 7 through 11. It says, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. He was close to the house of God, and his house feared God, and they served. So they were aware of, if you will. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Why? Because they believed on the truth that was being taught. Then spake the Lord to Paul, now watch this, in the night by a vision and said this, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Then spake the Lord to Paul, verse 9 again, in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Could I ask you, as the body of Christ tonight, would you lay claim to these scriptures? And would you believe tonight that the same thing that God spoke to the Apostle Paul is the same thing that he's speaking to his church in the year 2017 and saying, don't be afraid to speak with your mouth. He's with us. He will protect us. He will not allow for hurt to come into us as we talk of the goodness of his kingdom. Listen, it might be uncomfortable, but I have got to tell you that there was nothing convenient about Calvary. And sometimes what the Lord has for us to do might not fit in our little schedule or be good for the agenda we have established for the day. My wife isn't here tonight, but I want to tell you that last night at about 2:30 or 3 in the morning, when she was in such dire pain and they were trying to get rid of this headache, her hair was down and they were trying to put these wires and stuff on her, and she said, let me move that hair for you. That's my glory. And this is a woman who can hardly see straight because she has such a headache, and she began telling this lady who was working on her about how that's her glory and it saved her from cancer 10 years ago, and that how she knew without a shadow of a doubt that it was God that took care of her because of her glory. It wasn't convenient, and she certainly wasn't in a comfortable place to be speaking about the goodness of the kingdom, but she said it anyway. And I guess I'd have to really be transparent with you too and tell you that it was received rather coldly. But I was proud of her. And someone heard something there last night that they probably have never heard before about the long and unshorn hair and how it's the glory of the lady. And God has selected you and I as his bride, as the mother of all living things spiritually. And he's asking us to speak up. So, Saturday morning, I had a dream. And I know the dream was from the Lord. And we're getting ready to do a Teach the Teachers conference, and we'll talk about that next Sunday morning. It's going to happen right after Ladies Retreat. So let me just get this little plug in, ladies. My prayer during this fasting and praying has been that God would move on the hearts of people in this congregation to prepare themselves for what's coming, because there's much people in this city. So I know at Ladies Retreat, not that I go, but I've been told that there's booths there and there's skirts you can buy and there's things you can obtain there, but there's generally tables with Bible study materials on them as well. Before you would go, I would ask you to pray. And if the Lord moves on your heart, grab the stuff you're going to need. It's right there for you. Search for Truth 2 or Exploring God's Word, whatever you want to pick up. But we're going to do a 4-week class for 2 hours starting the 16th of May, the Tuesday after you get back. We'll talk about times and more later, but pray about it. The Lord has already moved upon the hearts of many in this city. He has them. So, in this dream, things were not normally the way they go in my life, and I did not have my own vehicle. And in this dream, I had a doctor's appointment, and I was standing on a corner somewhere waiting for a ride. And as I was there, I had some things with me, some clothes, and all of a sudden, these teenagers, I would call them, a younger generation of children, came out from this street and they filed into this little arena where in front of me, another street where I was waiting. I'm thinking I was waiting for a bus or a ride. And I remember having this thought that I didn't have my form of transportation, or something wasn't just right in my little world. And I was a little bit irritated by it. And then I saw these children file out, and they were bantering one with another, and they were using language that, well, this younger generation uses. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying there is a generation, and there is a coldness of some of our young people. Are you proud of our young people? Amen. I am, young people. And God has selected you as well to represent the kingdom of God. And so these young people filed out, and they were arguing and scuffling and pushing, and one thing led to another. And then this young man who had makeup on his face and he had earrings, and all of a sudden this blade came out of his pocket. It was a razor. And I remember in this dream the fear that I felt. A little blade. And a grown man, but I was afraid in this dream. I felt afraid, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And then I had this thought, well, if I had to have what I needed and be where I should be, I wouldn't even have to witness this. And now I'm here, and God knows what's going to happen to me. And then the arguing continued, and this one young lady, she had on a parka coat. Are there anybody in here old enough to remember the parkas with the fur around the... Yeah, I'm old. But she had a coat on like that, but all of a sudden this young man went up to her and he was talking and exchanging words with her, and she said, no, that's not going to happen. And the blade came out and now I was really afraid. And there was such a fear that I felt in this dream. I remember how I felt, and I knew I had to speak and say something, but I still had this fear. Don't be afraid. So he did what he did, and I watched this young lady slump down to her. She sat on the ground. And then he turned around and he saw me sitting there. And he walked over to me and he had this little blade and he went like this and wiped the blood on his trousers. And he said, you saw what I just did, didn't you? That's not good for you that you saw what I did, because now the same thing's going to have to happen to you because you've witnessed this. You saw. And I'm remembering the fear. I'm feeling this fear. And I looked at him and I said this to him. I said, young man, it's not important what my eyes saw. What's important is that there are eyes of someone who saw what you did and saw everything that you do. And his name is Jesus.
And you need Jesus in your life. That's the last thing that I thought I was going to have to say before I would lose my life. Or, and then this young lady who was stabbed and sitting on the ground uttered these words. She said, "Mother never told me about Jesus." And then I woke up. I was sweating. I was fearful. I was shaken to the core. If you could have heard the language and the style that they were talking one to another, what that young lady said was totally different. The verbiage she used, "Mother never told me about Jesus." And I came to prayer Saturday morning, and right over there, God spoke to me about that dream. Mother is the church. The young lady somehow slipped through the cracks. And there was no one in her life that ever spoke to her about Jesus. The mother that's here in Racine, Apostolic Faith Church, how many people do we rub elbows with every day? The grocery store, Quick Trip or Speedway or wherever it is that we put gas in our car, wherever we go, how many of those people do we brush by? And maybe there's even a door open, but because of our schedule and things we have going. You know, in the book of Daniel, when the Bible says that in the end times that people would be running to and fro and they were just going to be so busy. But he said, shut up the books because we're not talking about that now. And he had other things to teach back then. But it was brought to the attention in the Word of God that there was going to be a time in a generation that people were going to be so busy running to and fro that, well, anything that could deviate from our plans could be a problem perhaps. And because of that, maybe some young lady somewhere, some young man somewhere would fall victim to a wrong doctrine. He's given us the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God. Far greater and mightier, it can discern the bone from the marrow. And he's put it in our hands and allows for us to use it for the kingdom of God. What this lady was wearing, this parka, represented a coldness of a generation because they're godless in so many ways because they've been instructed, they have a form of godliness. But they don't have the truth, the doctrine from the very beginning that was established by the Lord Jesus Christ and given to the church to equip a people, to bring a people in. He has given us the spirit, the ministry of reconciliation through the Word of God. So instead of a coat with a hole in it and some blood that cost a life, we have a doctrine and a truth that follows with signs and wonders that can give them a covering and cover them with something that will preserve them for eternity. And so, this is not a rebuke in any way, shape, or form, but I believe it is the Lord calling our attention to the fact That we have life-giving words to give to someone in this city if we'll take the time. A year ago, I would have never imagined. I couldn't see with my eyes a coat that would be so full of joy and full of life and beauty. This coat now is alive in my household. I love the little girl who this coat belongs to. And if you would ask her on a Sunday, where are we going? Could I tell you? She would tell you, I'm going to church. And on Wednesday nights, she's going to church. She wants to make sure her shoes match. Because of being faithful to time. And then there's another Cody. I have two sons named Cody. Can you believe that? One spiritual, one natural. And because of investing in someone and keeping the agenda of God important, God took care of a Cody that I wanted so desperately to be a part of the kingdom. But there was a deviation in plans. But it didn't stop the prayer from going up, and it didn't stop the encouragement to do the right thing. God took care of what I couldn't. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, the Bible says, that you may withstand the wiles of the devil. On my way home Thursday, when Cody had his motorcycle accident, Cody 2, I went there and prayed for him at St. Cat's. It's not far from where I work. And his words to me were, I'm so glad I had my helmet on. You know what? I thought you had a helmet on, all right. It was the helmet of salvation. Do you know that there are millions and millions of dollars on a clothesline called Under Armour? I know that there's a lot of people in here that are probably wearing it right now. I even have some of it for my hunting clothes, but it's not new technology. The Lord had Under Armour going on a long time ago before someone claimed fame to that. And it's the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can put it on us, we can put it on our family, and what we can do is turn a coat of death into a coat of life. And you can have things happen in your life that maybe you couldn't see. But I am a firm believer, because of investing in the kingdom of God and in people of this world that need to see the kingdom, there are things that will file into your lives and be ushered into your lives that will just blow you away. People that will come, situations that will be taken care of. Why? Because we put the agenda of God before our agenda. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Would you stand with me tonight? First Timothy 4:1 says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy 4 and 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears." Jeremiah warned and he said, "But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities." Matthew talked about it in Matthew 15 and 9. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Folks, there's all kinds of doctrines out there. But there's one that was established from the very beginning. I close with this in 2 John. Thank you, Jesus. Nine and ten. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son, all in one." "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house." You know what? Don't let that garbage in here. The Spirit will let us know, "Nope, that's not what my Bible says." "Neither bid him Godspeed." Do you know that not just accepting and standing up for what's right could change somebody else's mindset, because they see you and they see your life and they see the favor of God and they think maybe he, maybe she, maybe they have something, and maybe I should seek what they stand firm in. Amen? Because it does matter. It does matter. Pastor Schumacher.
Thank you, Brother Bear. We can save lives. I don't want to prolong this, but years before I was pastoring, I taught a Bible study in the third floor of my office, bank building overlooking the airport. And there was a young couple that was in that Bible study, and eventually they came into the church, perhaps like Megan and Cody. They were so excited about this. And about a year after, I was on my way to church on a Sunday night. And God said, "I saved Bob's life because I knew he was going to accept this truth." And when I got to church, I walked up to Bob Newman. And I said, "Bob, was there a time in your life where perhaps you had something, some tragic thing that you could have lost your life?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "2 years ago, I was on a motocross trail, and somebody had stretched a cable across the trail, and I was going about 40 miles an hour, and it hit me in the neck, and they didn't think I was going to live." He said, "My brother came to the hospital, and the doctor said, 'It doesn't look good.' And he said, 'You will help him because he's not going to die. And somehow, I survived. I said, do you know that God spared your life because you came to truth? I wonder, this truth is all about eternity, but I believe that this truth could save some lives here. I believe there's a young man that's standing here tonight whose life has been saved because of a commitment that he made.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. So what will we do with this truth? Amen. Hallelujah. We have to be focused. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?